Hello and welcome to another edition of the In Context podcast. Today I'm with another friend of mine. It's Jude Bron. How are you doing, Jude?
I'm good, thank you. How are you
Good.
doing?
So, Jude, what is your role with Medhurst Ministries?
So I do the admin. I do the kind of day-to-day accounts, keeping a track of them. And I do kind of organising the retreats, different things that we've got going on. So the weekender and other things that come up, really. Kind of
Everything. Everything that
a
they
wide
do.
variety of things.
Cool. So, Jude, we've known each other for a while. You were part of New Life Church and then came over to work for Medhurst a couple of years ago. But you're not from Middlesbrough originally, are you? Whereabouts are you from originally?
So I was born in London, in North London, Barnet area. And then when I was six, we moved to South Wales. And I lived there till I was 17, and then I went back to London. So kind of a bit of all over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what we're doing is we're doing a little series on what is the working class, and we're interviewing different people who have grew up in council estate areas or live there, just to give their example of their background, what it means to them to be working class, or if they think they're working class. Just because what I found is a lot of people, when they're contacting Medhurst and they talk about working class ministry, the focus usually is on drug addicts, people in debt, the unemployed, people with practical need. But obviously that's just a small minority of people who might come under the umbrella of working class. So we're trying to give a wide and varied introduction to people who might be unfamiliar what working class culture is. So look, just to start with, what class would you say that you come from then, Jude?
I would say I'd say middle class, really. Yeah. My dad was working class. He was born, he was raised on a council estate. But my mum's family were very much middle class. I think her dad was a university lecturer. So yeah, it was kind of a bit of a, I had kind of the both sides. So my grandparents on my dad's side were very, and we spent a lot of time with them. They were very much working class. But then my dad became a professional musician. So we lived in a nice house in a nice area of London. So yeah, my upbringing, I would say, was predominantly middle class. Yeah.
So you have a working class father who was a professional musician, and he got saved. And how old were you, sorry, when he became a Christian?
I was one,
You were
so
what?
yeah, so I don't remember before he was a Christian.
And then how long after him getting saved did he become a minister?
So he, when I was six, that's when we moved to, so that was like 5 years later, he became an evangelist. So he moved to South Wales, and he became an evangelist. He worked there. And then when I was 13, he became a pastor. He got a job as a minister in a church in Bridgend in South Wales. So, yeah, so it was a lot of moving around, but yeah.
So your dad was very working class, and then comes from a working class background. All his family are working class, yet he
Yeah.
entered the world of the middle class
Yeah.
when he became a musician. So
Yeah.
how did your dad find that transition into? Did he retain his working class culture, or did he assimilate and just become like those that he was working and living with?
I mean, I think I don't really remember when he was like a musician, so I don't kind of, I'm not sure about that period, but I know when he, when we moved to South Wales and we went to the church there, we went to a very large reformed middle class church, and there I think I noticed the difference. He was very outspoken, and yeah, I think we were kind of a bit on the fringes of the church, I think, just because yeah, I don't think people quite knew what to do with his outspokenness, and yeah, so I could see the difference then. Yeah.
So describe in like what like outspoken, what do you mean by outspoken? What kind of
I mean, we'd be in Bible study and prayer meeting, and it was all very formal and very, yeah. So they kind of were very kind of quiet and formal people. And at the end, he would just stand up and say, "Right, I'm going into town to witness to the drug addicts and stuff. Who's coming with me?" And everyone would just go deathly silent. So yeah, just things like that. Yeah, he was just quite outspoken.
So did he wear his hat on the sleeve?
Yeah, he did. I think as well, because he just got saved, that was his enthusiasm for Jesus and for evangelism was obviously was very strong. But also I think it was his background as well. He was yeah, wore his heart on his sleeve, definitely.
So how did you find growing up then with having a middle class mum living in, did you initially, were you living in a middle class area when you
Yeah,
moved?
so we always did really. We always lived in quite middle class areas. Yeah, I think I found it the areas we lived, I found it quite hard because it was hard to get, and I know my parents found it hard that it was hard to get to know the neighbours. It was hard to get to know people. People were very closed. There was not any community within the places where we lived. So that was hard. Yeah, I think. I don't know really. I guess my mum was more, maybe a little bit more reserved than my dad, so maybe that was more from her middle class background. I didn't really have any, I didn't really see my mum's family much. So yeah, we predominantly spent time with my dad's family.
So what was that like then being with your dad's side of the family, who are they from Derbyshire originally?
Yeah, Derby. Yeah. It was
Not
interesting.
Northerners.
Yeah, exactly.
Working
Just
class.
very they all spoke their mind. Wore their. I was quite a sensitive child, and so I found it quite hard sometimes because they were just very blunt, and I took it really personally sometimes. But yeah, just wore their heart on their sleeves. There was like arguments, but everyone kind of resolved it quickly. Yeah, just yeah, just very vocal, very vocal.
And what about relationally? How did you find that? You said sometimes there'd be arguments and things like that, but how was there a keenness to interact with one another and spend time with one another? And what?
Yeah, I mean, my grandparents were very, very loving and very warm, and they wanted to spend a lot of time with us, which was, yeah. Yeah, they were just very open people, and yeah, yeah, we had a, I think if anything, they wanted to spend a lot of time with us, whereas you know, it, especially I think for my mum, it was a bit harder because she was from a family that were quite closed and quite reserved. So I think it was, yeah, a bit of a culture shock for her, I think.
And what, how about for you then? Because you mentioned that obviously you grew up in a middle class area, so then when you met with your working class family, there was obviously some things that you weren't used to, and you said you were sensitive to. But
Yeah.
what was it like then going from your working class family to then going to the church, which was predominantly middle class? What was the was there any challenges for you in doing that?
Yeah, I mean it was quite I kind of as much as it I was quite sensitive, I loved that side of that I loved that openness and that kind of warmth that I had in my family. So I think in the church we found it quite hard because I think people I think pe some people I mean not talking about the whole church, but some people didn't really accept our family very well, I think, because we weren't academics and we weren't like lawyers or doctors, or it was very, very academic. Like there was a lot of lawyers, a lot of doctors, teachers. So I think we were kind of always on the, like I say, on the fringes of the church. It was hard to be accepted into the church. I felt like we were never, well, I felt my personally, I don't know how my family felt really, but I was never truly accepted, which was, yeah, which was kind of hard when, yeah.
So would you say you were kind of like a hybrid
Yeah.
of culture and class?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Definitely. And I found in the church as well, like, I guess I was used to my dad being quite open with his feelings and quite, we shared a lot in the family, like, we would talk a lot. And whereas in the church, it was very much things were hidden. So you didn't talk openly about your, like, struggles or your emotions. And so I guess for me, I felt like my family had these kind of, normal day-to-day issues, but everyone else seemed to have like a perfect life. And that was quite hard. I think I kind of struggled, especially as I got older a little bit mentally. And I would look around and think like nobody had any, you wouldn't know that anyone had any struggles. So I think I found that quite hard because I thought I'm kind of the only one that struggles with things. So yeah, that was a challenge.
So how old were you then when you stopped fellowshipping with your parents? And was your dad your pastor for the most of your childhood?
So my dad was my pastor from the age of 13. And then I left home at 17. So yeah, so I stopped obviously attending the same church as them at 17.
So where did you go then after leaving home? What was it?
So I went to London. I was doing my nursing training in London, and I went to a church in central London. Again, it was quite, I mean, I wasn't very involved really. I just would go on a Sunday. And so yeah, I kind of didn't get heavily involved in the church. But again, it was quite a middle class church. I never felt a part of it really.
Yeah, so then you've left your parents' church. Was it you studying in London? Was it nursing you were doing? So that was when you were 17. You were in London as a student, and now you're in Middlesbrough living on a council estate,
Kind of gone the
working for a council estate ministry. So what was your journey to Middlesbrough, and what was this hybrid culture that you'd come from like then? Because obviously there's several years between you being at a church in central London to joining New Life Church in Middlesbrough. What was your journey like as an adult in church, and was there any cultural issues that you found as an adult in the church?
So I did most of my training as to be a nurse in London, but I'd met Dave, who's my ex-husband, in London while I was studying, and so we moved. I didn't actually complete my studies because I wasn't well, and Dave, we got married, went while I was living in London, and we moved up to be near to his parents who lived in North Allerton, so that's what brought us up north, and we moved to Darlington, and yeah, so I he so Dave kind of fell away, quite quickly after we got married. He lost his faith, so I was always going to church on my own, so we moved up to Darlington, and I started going to a Pentecostal church in Darlington. And again, I struggled because I was going on my own and I didn't really get involved. I just wanted to go on a Sunday. I kind of kept myself quite distant, really, which wasn't a good thing. And yeah, the thing that I noticed immediately when we moved up north, actually, which was we moved to Darlington, and I went over to the local shop, and I was just talking to the shop worker, and I was like, "Oh, how are you?" And I was still there an hour later. She was like, literally told me her life story, and I was like, "This is amazing. I love it. It's so I've never experienced it in my life, like a stranger, like literally opening up her everything." So I really love that. I really love that culture. I think, yeah, it was very different to the culture in London, obviously, and Wales, but I found it really refreshing. But yeah, I always struggled in church. I never could really find a church where I felt at home. Partly my fault because I wouldn't I was kind of I didn't want to get involved in a church. I just kind of wanted to go on a Sunday. And yeah, so, but it was quite hard to sort of find a church and get in, feel at home in a church. I never really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so how did you end up? You were in Darlington. Middlesbrough
Yeah.
is about 20 miles away, 15, 20 miles away from where you used to live and you started. You turned up at New Life Church when it had just started.
Yes.
You were talking about how you struggled in churches, and I don't know how you managed to find yourself at home in New Life. I was just thinking when you first came, we were meeting in a living room.
Yeah.
There
Yeah.
was a crazy dog.
Yeah.
There was a 14-year-old single mum. There was somebody who was released on the Good Friday Agreement. There was young ex-offenders, older ex-offenders, ex-addicts.
Yeah.
The addicts and the ex-offenders was included in the leadership. So there was a few refugees. There was one woman who turned up who couldn't even speak English. Can you remember Margaret who came?
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was and then there was a woman from India as well who
Yeah.
came along. So we were meeting in the living room. It was a bit mental. There was a dog. I just remember my dog barking halfway through my sermon, and just this mad hodgepodge of people. And
Yeah.
you were just coming temporarily, weren't you, to start with?
I
But you ended up
was.
staying. So
I was.
what happened there?
Well, I think I just like immediately felt at home. I immediately felt I think that says more about me. I guess I'd never been around people that were so open and honest. That loved Jesus but were honest about their struggles and their day-to-day, difficulties. And immediately I just felt welcomed and loved and at home. So yeah, it was the kind of church I'd always kind of wanted to go to, really, that yeah, I'd always been kind of looking for. I think it, which is bizarre because I was quite a reserved person. I was quite like, yeah, I didn't wear my heart on my sleeve at all. And I had a lot of things kind of buried or hid. But yeah, I loved it. I loved the fact that everyone was open, and I think it gave me the confidence to share something of myself, which I hadn't done for years. So I think I found that, yeah, really, really helpful and really refreshing. Yeah.
So you've been, barring a few weeks, you were with New Life from the start, from being in a living room to then moving into a church building and
Yeah.
becoming a formal church and having paid staff. You became a member of staff. And just share a little bit of, obviously, there was quite a few characters in the church and there was lots of things that made you feel at home, but what were some of the challenges that might have made life a little bit difficult within the church that you might have faced in New Life, but you wouldn't have seen in any of the middle class churches that you went to.
I guess the challenges were, I mean, with honesty and openness comes like where you're faced with things that you're like, I don't know how to like respond to this, or I don't know what advice. Such a range of different issues, problems that people faced. And I guess, yeah, my challenge was almost like I felt like bad that I didn't have like I'd grown up in a loving home and a Christian home, and like you feel a bit like, how can I relate to people when they've had such trauma and such difficult upbringings? Do you know what I mean? Pain in their life. So I felt a bit, yeah, at times I'd be like, people must think like I have this perfect, which I didn't at all, but yeah, it was just like hard to know how to relate or what to say, when I knew nothing of their experience. So I guess that was a challenging thing. Yeah.
Well, from feeling that way to then becoming employed by the church, and although you're employed, your main role was administrator and supporting me with the partnerships and the networks and things like that. You were heavily involved in the local community and outreach. So from that initial self-doubt of wondering how you could relate and whether people would accept you or not, and just having to sort of accept people think you're posh anyway, don't they? Even if you're from a council estate
Exactly.
in London, people think you're posh. But
Completely.
yeah, so how did you overcome those that self-doubt and the challenges?
I think, it wasn't like a thing that like a good thing, but my marriage broke down, so I separated from my husband. So then I became overnight, like moved to Middlesbrough, moved into a council house on a council estate with three kids. So I became a single mum living on a council estate, and I think straight away that kind of broke down some barriers. I think, yeah, just being a single mum, I think people were able maybe to relate a little bit more to me, or I felt a little bit more like I could relate to them, the pain that they were going through, not obviously like in a different way. Also, I think just being, I think over the years, especially being in new life, I've learned to be more open about some of my struggles. So I think just being open with people, not being, do you know what I mean? Being, yeah, just sharing my struggles, I think really helped, and I hope that helped break the barriers down, I think. I think if you're open about your own struggles, I think that gives people like the permission to be open with their struggles, and also like then they don't feel like you're above them or like have this kind of perfect life. Yeah, so I think that really helped.
And what about then? So you've come from most of your life living in middle class areas. You had the challenge of joining a council estate church, and the next thing you're living on a council estate as a single mum with three kids. How was that transition difficult? Was there any fears that you had, or any misconceptions? And what is the reality compared to what you initially thought it was going to be like?
So initially it was quite challenging because we moved in, and yeah, the neighbours that we had were kind of a bit crazy. Had yeah parties quite frequently, smashing things, beating each other up. So that was, yeah, it was like we were kind of thrown in at the deep end maybe a little bit. But and also I think the challenges were within my own self, my own pride probably. Thinking like, what will people think? I've become, I mean, I on the outside I looked quite, you know, I lived in a nice house, in a nice area, was married with three children, my husband had a professional job. So to go from that to then moving on to a council estate, being a single mum of three children, that was, yeah, I kind of felt a bit like a failure. So that was my own pride that I had to work on, I think. But the benefits, I mean, I moved on and onto this estate, and immediately, like, some of the neighbors came to speak to me, were like, got us Christmas presents, got us birthday presents. I felt like accepted straight away in this area. Just, yeah, I'd never lived in an area where people are so, just like kind and looking out for their neighbors. And there's just a real sense of community. So that was lovely. I'd never experienced it ever. So.
Yeah, and again, I think the figures you mentioned, pride there, I don't think it's just pride, is it? That obviously we have plans for our life, and then when they don't turn out and bad things happen, obviously there's also like a kind of mourning and regret and fear as well. I don't think it's just pride. I think it's yeah, a lot of emotions going on there. But you mentioned that your initial neighbours weren't the best, were a bit rowdy in what people might think of living on a council estate is. But then you were blessed to buy a house on the same street. And what are your neighbours like now that you're
Oh,
next to?
they're just lovely. Yeah, they're just so nice. They look out for us. They look after my many animals when I go on holiday, or look out for the house when I'm away. They're just so kind and so hospitable, and yeah, they've just become really good friends. So that's been, yeah, and the area now is like really quiet. It's just become a really nice area. Like kids play out on the green, and yeah, it's just been lovely.
Well, describe that then for your kids. For Jacob, he's a young boy,
Yeah.
likes football, and you've got a green, which is awesome. Just play out your
Yeah.
front door, and there's a green separating
Yeah.
the rather than a road. It's
Yeah.
a playing area. So,
Yeah.
just describe what it's like for your children, because a lot of people think about council estate ministry and put
Yeah.
off if they've got children, wondering what it'd be like. What are
Yeah.
the local schools like? What will it be like for them to play out? Will they be at risk? Will there be a danger?
Yeah.
So can you just share a little bit about how you navigated raising three kids?
Yeah. Well, yeah, to be honest, my son plays out quite regularly out on the green with his friends, and to be honest, I feel like almost safer here because I think the neighbors really look out for the kids. Do you know what I mean? There's a real sense of community. There's looking out for each other. And I've never felt like he's in danger or he's, yeah. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't let him roam around everywhere, but I wouldn't let him do that anywhere. And yeah, I mean, for the girls, they just adjusted really well to moving here. I think they felt like quite cared for straight away within the community. Also, like because we were in New Life Church, they felt very loved in the church, and I think that's so important. That yeah, so they moved here. So I don't think it was as traumatic as it would have been just moving to a random area, because they were part of the church, they were loved, they were cared for, and we were as a family. So I think that was made the transition so much easier for them. And they've just loved it. They've never struggled here. They've never complained about living here. They just have adapted and settled, and yeah, love it really.
And
Yeah.
it's funny because I think like our girls are friends, and well, our girls and your boy are friends with as well, aren't they? Yeah, so the whole family are friends, but. Again, they're hybrids where they've grown up in a council estate area. My girls have got a working class dad, and I think they all think the council estate, don't they? They all think they're working class. But again, and again, that but the hybrids, aren't they? They're
They
very,
are.
again,
They are.
culturally, I think they're very sensitive,
Yeah.
and I think they're very accepting, and can get on with the working class people in the area. I've got a lot of friends, but
Yeah.
also I think. Yeah, quite different as well. It's
Yeah.
funny
Yeah.
sometimes. I'm thinking that they grow up in a hood sometimes, the way they talk.
I know, it's so true. Yeah, no, I think yeah, they kind of just accepting of all people. Like they can sort of mix with all people, I think. Our kids, I think, because they've grown up with people from so many different backgrounds, all different backgrounds, all different cultures. I think it's been amazing experience for them. And to see like the struggles that other children go through, do you know what I mean? And other young people, I think that's been really good for them. And yeah, I'm just really, yeah, just grateful that they've had sort of this experience mixing with so many different types of people. Yeah.
Yeah, no, likewise, I'm really encouraged that, again, just seeing the diversity of ethnicity as well. When the girls used to come around and meet on a Monday, there was people from all different ethnicities. Everyone was off the estate, but
Yeah.
everyone was quite different as well. But it was really nice to see how they all kind of looked out for one another and
Yeah.
get
And
one
I
another.
think for the girls, I think it was good because I think obviously they had the trauma of me and their dad separating and then moving away from their home, and but I think it was kind of like good for them to, because they were also mixing with children and young people that had had all different types of trauma, different, do you know what I mean, different upbringings. And I think that helped. I think if they would just been around like young people with two parents at home, and do you know what I mean, I think they'd have struggled a lot more. Yeah, so I think it's been.
Yeah, I think you're right. I used to feel, when my mom and dad split up, most of the people I knew were just still in the typical 2.4 children families, and I just always felt like the odd one out, and that my life was the worst, and a genuine trauma. But I maybe is a bitterness and I don't really want to say a victim mentality, but it just seemed I just felt so sorry for myself. But as you meet other people and find out there, like when we moved to Grangetown, a council estate, shortly after my mum and dad split up, I was in the majority. And then you see that some people's lives are far worse than yours. So it helps you to, it obviously doesn't remove the trauma, but it helps you to kind of rationalize it a bit better and kind of think, well, do you know what? This has been awful, but it could be worse. And it helps you to see the good things in your life rather than just focusing on the bad things as well, doesn't it, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, and to know you're not the only one, you're not alone in it, and
And to not feel judged, because even like when I first encountered church as a teenager, when my mum was saved, there was like a definite difference between, like, divorce was still unheard of in the church really when I first went to church as a child. So again, I really felt the odd one out at church. And I wonder how I'd have felt if I went into a church like New Life, where the majority of kids that went there, dads were either absent or they had stepfathers. So it wasn't uncommon, and I felt less, even if people aren't intentionally judging, you can feel insecure and just think that they are, can't you?
Definitely. Yeah, I think that about the church where I grew up in, and I think if I went there as a single parent with three kids living on a council estate, I mean, I don't know how I would be received, to be honest. Well, that was like 20 years ago. I'm sure it's different now, but it's sad.
Yeah, very. So you transitioned well from being down south to being up north, and then from being in a middle class area to a working class area. I think it's interesting that when a lot of people look at council estate ministry, they don't expect to meet any middle class people on a council estate. So, and it's surprising how many people are there through divorce or through a number of reasons that have been unfortunate and unplanned that have meant people might have to start again. And usually an easier place to start again is on a council estate. So, yeah, so the church was a blessing. The moving on the estate was a blessing. How's being involved in a council estate ministry been for you then?
Oh, it's been amazing. I've learned so much. Like, it's been, I've learned so much through it. Challenging at times. Challenging and out of my comfort zone. But that's been, I've just learned so much. I just feel r so blessed, to be honest. It's been just a real blessing.
And you've just come back from a women's retreat. Share a little bit about that, because you've got a bit of a. So when we talk about we run Medhurst Women, it's a ministry training program for women, predominantly for women who are ministering to or looking to reach out to council estates and working class people. However, it's open to anyone from any church, and the subject matters, although contextualised to council estates, are just across the board, aren't they? We look at loving God, loving the church, and loving the lost, and how that is. And we have a wide range of people, from people who are from the estate who, sorry, 2 seconds. Yeah, sorry about that. I've just had to shut the dog up from barking. So we were talking about the Medhurst retreat. Share a little bit about the people who were on the retreat, because we've got people who are off the estate and people who have got professional jobs who aren't even involved in ministry, just want to learn a bit more. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we had I think we had 14 ladies in total, and we went and stayed in a beautiful house near Scarborough, I think it was, near Bridlington, and yeah, it was just such a lovely time of just like Shabba came down from 20 Schemes and did a few sessions. I think she did four sessions, three sessions, and that was really good, really helpful. And it was just such a lovely time of like just sharing with each other about the difficulties of ministry and the blessings of ministry, or just and just like day-to-day life, like our normal struggles. Yeah, it was just a really encouraging time. And there was women from, so we had some women that were single mums. We had, like you say, women that were professional, that were just wanting to minister to people in their church, pastors' wives, and a lady came that was just saved a couple of years ago, and had a barber shop, and she was just like telling everyone in her barber shop about Jesus, from a working class background. Oh, she was like, yeah, it was lovely. That was really encouraging. And yeah, it was just a real mix of people, mix of ladies, but just really just a lovely time, encouraging time.
Awesome. So just to put you on the spot, if you were asked the question, what is working class, how would you answer that, Jude?
What is working class? I mean, it's such a broad term, isn't it? As in, like, I think you can have money but have working class like values and like so I guess working class for me it would be people that maybe have been born into more sort of deprived areas, areas of maybe poverty, but also maybe ha have maybe not been born into it. Maybe their family were born into it, and you know, you've been raised by people with more working class attitudes. I would say it's definitely more community focused, more community looking out for each other, caring for each other. But yeah, I think it's such a broad can be like your what you earn or your political values. Yeah, I would it's hard to like actually quantify what it is really.
So more of a culture than a
Yeah.
practical.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
So rather than what you're on, what job you've got,
Yeah.
it's more about your values
Think
and
so. Yeah. So, and obviously there's different, I mean, there's the old traditional working class, isn't there, where people would be, you know, in kind of more kind of what they call it blue collar work. And then you've got the sort of benefit culture, which again is like very different to the old traditional working class. So that it's like within the term working class, it's like massive, isn't it? There's so many different
So many
variables.
cultures within that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically a broken term now, I think, isn't it? That
Yeah.
just doesn't
It's
fit
harder.
anyone in particular, but there's no other
Yeah.
term for it without people fearing being offensive by using other terms. But
Yeah.
I think benefit class, underclass, there's been a few terms used that some people find offensive.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I think anyone who's not middle class, there's a
Yeah.
huge category of different people in.
Yeah. Yeah. And now with, you know, obviously so many asylum seekers and coming over and there's, yeah, it's just like a vast kind of vast what
Well,
kind of
again,
vast.
with the migrants as well, there's so
Yeah.
many professionals and academic
Yeah,
migrants
yeah.
living on council
Living on
estates
council
to help us
estates
start
in
scratch.
poverty. Yeah. I know, it's crazy.
Well, brilliant. June, so thank you very much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go?
No, I don't think so. No, I
Sounds
think we've
great. Covered a lot.
covered a lot. Covered a
Yeah.
lot. Exactly.
Wonderful. Oh, well, thank you very much for joining me on the In Context podcast.
No problem. Thank you.
Cheers.